Okay, so we start with, we've been learning the sugya of Ein Bishlach HaBishol for around 2.5 weeks or so, with breaks for Yom Tif. So we got started 2 weeks ago, sort of tried to lay out just some beginnings of ideas, some of the major machloksim, and point out that maybe surrounding the Shitaso. So what I want to do now, that was intentionally meant as food for thought, as stubs, if you will, on which to begin to build a sugya. What I want to do now is really back up and start from the beginning and see how we can put things together. We'll try to organize a lot that's swirling around, a lot of discussion we show them that's swirling around the Bishlach HaBishol. We try to get things clear and organized and see how things work out halacha l'maisa, but also see where the tensions, where the machloks and Rishonim are, and try to put things together. Maybe at the end we'll also talk about one possibility and how the Shitos HaRambam may be very coherent. So everything starts with the Mishnah Kuf and Hay on the base. That as Mishnah said, Ein Bishlach HaBishol. Right. Mishnah says once it was Baba Chama and Me'er Shabbos, so you can you could put it back. That was the source of Ein Bishlach HaBishol. If all we had was that, we wouldn't move that much. But as you saw over the course of Sifim Dal and Hay, there are at least four major issues that we showed in debate. And that's because this Gemara is really being pulled in several different ways. It might be helpful just because there's so many different issues and they're intertwined. Now, over the course of the learned Beis Yosef, and then the Shulchan Aruch clearly assumes that you've learned the Beis Yosef already. So everything is very intertwined, both with other issues within Ein Bishlach HaBishol, as well as with other larger Bishlach issues like Klisheni. So let's try to tease out some of the threads. Ein Bishlach HaBishol, Mishnah Kuf from Hayim Beis, quoted in the Gemara, Daf Lamed Tesam and Aleph, that's where the Tosis and the Rashba talk about it, and that's in Bishlach HaBishol. However, number one is you have Gemara earlier, Masech HaShabbos, Daf Lamed Dalet, and also Gemara on Daf Yechesh and Beis. Right? The Gemara Daf Lamed Dalet talks about the Easter of Hatmana. How come? We're going to get to Emirat Hashem again after we finish in Ches Biner. We're going to move back to Reish and Gimel and that zone to look at the different Dinim Drabbanan, Shehiya, Chazar, Hatmana, and so forth. So one of the Dinim Drabbanan is you're not allowed to wrap, insulate food on Shabbos. There's also some issues with insulating food before Shabbos, but that Gemara is talking about, I have food, I have a hot pot, I want to keep it hot, I realize Gevalta, fire went out, or whatever it is, I decided I want to eat it later. The pot is right now hot, it's Friday night, so I'm not allowed to wrap it in a towel. That's an Easter of Hatzmana. How come? So Gemara says, our years in the Gemara of Lama Dalet is Shabbat Yartiyach. Hatzmana on Shabbos is Aser because you might boil it up. So the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches is talking about the Yorishal Samamanim. You have a pot in your a vat, a dying vat. And the Gemara has all sorts of rules for how you're going to set up that dying vat. If you want to continue into Shabbos, so you're going to have to lock it up in some way or another so that you won't be able to access it. Why? Because otherwise, you're going to be magus. That's one of the concerns the Gemara raises. You may start stirring. So Rashi, in both these cases, says, oh, because if you were worried that what? That you're going to do bishul to it. Rashi says on Daf Lamed Dalet, Rashi says, because there is Shem Yartiyach, you might boil it up, meaning if we allow you to start fiddling around and working on keeping things hot, so if you discover it's actually not so hot anymore, you thought you were going to keep the pot hot, and it turns out the pot is actually ready to cool down, so why are Shem Yartiyach? You may reboil it. And Rashi says, meaning you reboil it, and then you're violating bishul. B'mevushal. I said, it's cooked, you're going to violate bishul. And then Yuchas, Rashi says, we're worried that you may stir the dye, and then you're violating bishul. Bishul Sama, the original bishul is bishul Samaman. So the Rishonim say, one second, Rashi is reading that Gemara as being bishul ach bishul. But what happened? But we thought, in bishul ach bishul. So that's one source of tension. Another source of tension that you saw is Sachad Daf Mem Aleph and Brachas Bolas Adlam is Labuches, right? And both his cases, you had Rabbi Yossi, who said that Rocky Kamavushi, you took a matzah and you cooked it, so it's possible. So what do you mean? Well, how about Ein Bishal Achabishal? It's already baked, so who cares about the cooking? The cooking she means is already baked. So here you see that the cooking matters to the Yora and by the Hatmana. Here you see the cooking matters to the matzah. A third issue is Gemara on Daf Mem on Beis, Masach HaShabbos, that talks about shemen. The Gemara has a discussion about shemen. Is it wrong to, the Gemara is trying to figure out what the rules and regulations are in terms of heating oil on Shabbos. The Gemara goes back and forth, and the Gemara makes a comment about the Gemara has a story about they were trying to figure out how to handle the oil on Shabbos. The Gemara says, oh, you see several dinim from the story, one which is that shemen, shmamina, the shemen, yeshba, mishon, bishel. There is bishel by shemen, and therefore the Chachamim were trying to figure out how can you handle the oil in a way that you won't violate bishel. That shemen, yeshbo, mishon, bishel. And at first glance, that's interesting because that seems almost as though there are things that don't have bishel. I mean, shemen, yeshbo, mishon, bishel. Why ever not? Why ever not? And finally, that's not necessarily that. Daf Mem is not saying kashan kufim hay. We're going to see it's going to impact in a significant way. And then finally, in the fourth direction, also not necessarily kasha, but it's going to impact in a significant way, is a Gemara Menachas Daf Nun Zayin. Gemara Menachas Daf Nun Zayin talks about once you hit Macha Ben Jerusalem, you already cooked it. As the Gemara talks about it, it starts in a different context, but Gemara connects it to Shabbos. The Gemara makes a comment about you put your grilling meat. So once it gets to Macha Ben Jerusalem, you've already violated Bishul. So we have two problems, and then two other interesting points. These two, again. Number one, the Lama Dala and Yudches. It seems like Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. And number two, you have Psacha Ben Malf and Brachas Lama Ches. Rav Yossi says that the cooked matzah all of a sudden is no longer kosher for matzah. So as you know, this lay out these issues. These four different directions are a point to four different issues Rishon raised with Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Number one, although Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, the Rush says, how did Rashi ignore Ein Bishul Acha Bishul in these two cases? On Lama Dalet and Yudches. So it must be that's question number one. The Rush says that Rashi holds that it can't be that there's always Bishul Acha Bishul, but it must be that when it comes to Lach, that's an exception. That maybe by Lach, Rashi holds the whole idea of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, that's Tarnagolt to Rabbi Abba, which may be the point Targol to Rabbi Abba is, the Gemara's example, Kufamei was a what, and that was a solid piece of chicken. If you have a dry piece of chicken, you cook the chicken, and now it's a solid dry piece of chicken, so you can re-cook that. But if it's liquid, so then Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. That was the first issue. The second issue was the Davar Afoy. Let's just lay out the issues, and we'll go one by one through them.
If it's liquid, it's Yesh.
If I'm sorry, what I say backwards? But if it's liquid, then you're right. The whole idea of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul applies to Yavesh, but maybe Lach is an exception. Maybe Lach, you should say the Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. Number two, you saw that the Yireim said that what do you do with Psach and Malif and Brachas Lamed Ches? How come Yossi says that Rakik HaMavushi, you bake the matzah, you cook the matzah, and all of a sudden it's no good? So you see that the cooking mattered. Even though, what do you mean, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul? So Yireim says, if it was cooked and you cook it a second time, garnished. But if it was baked and then you cook it, so then the cooking does matter. He says that's another exception to Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, is Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, the Yesh Bishul Acha Afiyah. So Devar Lach might be an exception, Devar Ofin might be an exception. And then the third question was, again, we shown and discuss how does Machu Ben Drusoi impact Ein Bishul Acha Bishul? When does Ein Bishul Acha Bishul begin to kick in? Should we say, you see from the Gemara Menachas, Daf Nun Zayin, that Bishul happens at Macha Ben Yusai and therefore can't happen again? And that's what the Rashba says. We're done. And once Kamacha ben Yusari read is the Ein Bishal Achabishal, or like some other Rishonim say, that Ein Bishal Achabishal only kicks in once it's Mavushal called Sarka. So that's the question of Machu ben Yusari. And finally, the fourth issue that's in contention is something that is a Davar She'ein Sarach Bishal. Something that's Ein Sarach Bishal, because the Gemara said, Shemen has Bishal. Right. So we saw the Rambam had said, Rambam had this idea that maybe something that there's a category of things that don't require Bishal. And the Gemara's Chiddush was that by Shemen it doesn't apply. Okay, so how do we look at all these four issues? So let's go number one. Yeah.
That means just with water?
That means anything with it. Shulchan Aruch is clear. Shulchan Aruch talks about Marak. Right? Shulchan Aruch says that since we're Machmir for the position of Rashi, that by Devar Lach is Yesh B'Shalach HaBishol, so you could recook something if it ain't about Marak. So if you get rid of all the soup or all the gravy. So you see, it's not just water, it's liquid. Poskim do discuss, well, let's get to the details in a moment.
That liquid is based on water. I'm saying like,
okay. I think post can assume that milk, post can talk, they don't talk about shemen so much, they do talk about milk.
Shemen.
I understand, right. I think the post can, in the context of Ein Bishlach Bishlach Balach, there's more discussion about challah because it comes up more often. As you have milk, you want to feed milk to a child, you want to warm it up, so that's post can discuss. Well, I boiled it already, but let's say, if it was pasteurized to 212, or even just above Yav Saletzbo, pasteurization is definitely above Yav Saletzbo. So then it cooled down, so do I have the right to reheat it? Or I heat it before Shabbos, do I have the right to reheat it at Shabbos? I think the assumption is that other liquids should be the same as Halacha Lamaisa. I think it's assumed that other liquids are the same as water. In other words, that heating Chalav is no more Kal than heating waters. So you saw a long list of Rishon that debate this. Right? Let's start with the that top issue of the Davar Lach. Right, so you saw a long list of Rishonim with debate this. So the one you have Rashi, and the Rush seems to hold that way, and Ben Yeruchim holds that way, that just as an aside, Reishu Dvav for some reason stands for Ben Yeruchim. I don't know why, but that's just what the Beis Yosef always uses. When you see Reishu Dvav, you wonder who that is, it's Ben Yeruchim. Right, so they all say that the Inachanami, that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, this is an exception. Right? And then we saw a slew of Rishonim who seemed to disagree.
Rabbeinu Yeruchim's a Rishon?
Yes. Rabbeinu Yeruchim was, I believe, one of the Sephardi, Talmidim of the Rush. The Rush fled as an adult from Germany to Spain, and he set up shop in Toledo in southern Spain, and then he continued to learn and teach in Mechuvas and have Talmidim. So I believe Rabbeinu Yeruchim was one of the Sephardi Talmidim.
Is there a different one who's a Bali Tosos?
Yeah, he's a student of the Rush.
Doesn't Tosos go right now?
No, I don't know. Tosos goes right now. Gotta take one. Okay, so you saw that on the other hand, they say that's not an exception. There's no such thing as another. Right, the Rambam said, Rambam does not, the post can point out the Rambam never addresses it, but the Rambam doesn't seem to distinguish ever between Lach and Yavesh. And then the Rajba and his whole school of Rishonim, the Ram, the Magen and Mishnah, they also all explicitly discuss this. They're coming after they're responding to Rashi and Yeruchim the Rashi. They say, no, we disagree. We think that Lach is not an exception. So if Lach is not an exception, so if Lach is an exception, that's a teretz to why this is different than that. The reason why Uvar Hashem Yartiach is because we're talking about, yeah, you can't be matmin if it's a pot full of soup or it's meat, chicken with liquid. So then we're worried if you reboil it, like Rashi said, they'll talk it be bishul. But the yorish osamamanim, you have dye in liquid, talk a concern of yesh bishul achar bishul. What are you going to say if you hold like the Rambam or the Rashba based midrasho? So how are you going to explain why those cases are different? And then there seem to be, so in terms of the Gemara and Lama Dalet, of the Hatmana, Shema Yartiach, the assumption is either a different girsa or just a different pshat, that the concern is not a concern of Melech's Bishul, because the Ram and the Rosh would say there is no Bishul, it's already cooked. The concern is about the fire. If I'm going to notice that the food is cold, I'm going to want to reheat it. I'm not violating Bishul, but if I'm stoking, turn the fire up, or I'm lighting the fire again, adding fuel to the fire, that's a malacha of Mavir. The Rashbo based Midrash will say that's what the Gemara meant. Shema Yartiach means we're worried that you'll reboil it, and in doing so, you're lighting the fire. And then they point that the Ram actually had a different gears to the Gemara. You're actually Shema Yartim Beremetz, you're actually fooling around with the coast. Okay, so that's a way out. That's an alternative solution to Daf Lamed Daled, and then that releases this tension. Lamed Daled is no longer Kasha Kufman Hey, because it's not talking about Bishul, it's talking about Melechus Mavir. In terms of the Yoreh, how do you understand Daf Yuches? Well, what's wrong with being Magus? What's wrong with stirring? If it's already cooked, so what's wrong with stirring? So the Beis Yosef, you saw, points out two solutions to that. Again, according to Rashi and the Rosh, the answer is it's Yesh Bishlach Bishul B'lach. According to the Rambam and the Rosh, based on Rosh, you'll say, Beis Yosef says one of two things. Either you'll say, maybe Salman Manim are different. It's not about the liquid. As Rashi is saying, oh, it's different because the Rosh is saying it's different because it's liquid. Beis Yosef says, maybe dye is different. Because maybe dye, there's always more to the, you never get to Mavushal Kol Sarko, so to speak. Now that's a little bit difficult for the Rashba, who thinks that by food, what's it, Kemacho ben Drusayim, Bishlach Bishl. So to apply that to save the Rashba over here, it's a little bit difficult. You can say that the Rashba says, oh, you could just continue cooking the Salamanim forever, but he doesn't hold of that. So that's why it may be more appealing to say, at least for the Rashba, like Beis Yosef's other answer, which is parallel to the answer here. Just like Lama Dal, the answer was, it's not concerned with Bishul, it's concerned with a different malacha, namely Mavir. So that Beis Yosef points out here, and maybe it's not a malacha of Bishul, it's a different malacha of Soveya, because you're dealing with dye. So this is a question of heating, it's a question of, through the heating, you're coloring. So that's how... That's how the Rishonim can legitimate that we understand now why you might take either side of that debate in terms of whether lach is an exception to bishul achar bishul or not.
What are you coloring?
You're probably coloring the water. In other words, you have the probably plants or some sort of item, solid pieces with pigment, and you're stoking them in water, and there may also be cloth in the water. There may also be a ready cloth in the water that you're dyeing with. That's the way dyeing was often done. You would boil it up and then... So either you just dye the water or you're actually dyeing the cloth that was put into the pot. Right. So that's what they say. That's what he says. Forget about the concern. Rashi says clearly it's an issue of Bishul. Rashi is very clear that because it's Bishul. Okay, but the other Rishonim could disagree with that. Now in terms of law, so in terms of this, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch is clear... And the Ramah tries to walk a fine line. Right, the Mechaber... Yeah, sure.
The Rashi and the Rambam are only speaking to the Stamik Betobo, no? Because when you said about the Salmanim, that was going to get better.
Yeah.
That means it's
going to
get worse and they don't have a problem.
The Rashi and Rambam don't think there's a problem anyways. Remember, the Rashi and the Rambam say that this is that we see no exception. And that's the question. Is this an exception to Ein Bishlach Bishul? We start in the center with the Hefer. And everything is Mutter, everything is Gevalik. Ein Bishlach Bishul. Right? That's the starting point is Mishnah Kuf Mehem Beis. So the first question is, do Lamadal Yud Chet represent an exception to that? Maybe it's a Hefer, but it's limited because it doesn't apply here. So the Rashi and the Rosh of Ein Yeruchim and some of the other Rishonim say, an exception. Here there is Bishul. Why? And the Rashi doesn't explain what the dividing line is. I read there's Bishul. I saw that. That was that long Rashi. He says, what do you mean? So he says, it must be what Rashi is driving at. Here there's Bishul because it's Lach. Here's Bishul because it's Lach. Okay, that's what the other Rishonim pick up on. But the Rashi and the Rambam say, no, we don't see any exception here. This is Bishul stands. The Rambam, the Rashba say, Bishlach Bishul applies even to liquids, and those Gemaras are relevant. They're not talking about Bishol. This Amanim is different. Or they're talking about the Malach, the Torah, Mavir, and so they had nothing to do with Bishol. That's what the Rambam and the Rashi say. Irrelevant. Right? So that's why this right column, Rashi, Rashi, Yeruchim, are being Machmer and limiting the head of Bishol. But the Rambam and the Rashi are saying it's still wide open. What you're pointing out is Rei Yeruchim then further limits maybe this whole idea of Lach should be narrowed. About the mitzvah, the rabba. But the basic machlokas is about do you have such an exception or not? And in terms of how we paskin, so the mechaber in Sif Dalet, where you expect to find him, says he throws his weight behind the machmir. Right? And he says it's a difficult mechaber to read. And a lot of guys are swaying over it because he starts sort of from the exception instead of starting from the rule. It only tells you later, right? He starts by saying, Yesh Bishol, Acha Bishol, then he throws in a whole bunch of conditions, and afterwards he says, oh, by the way, I said Yesh Bishol, Acha Bishol, Hani Mili, if it's liquid, but if it's all solid, then it's fine. Right? But it's an example, it's a confusing sif to read, sif Dalet. It's an example, as I was talking to some of you during Seder, it's an example of how Shulchan Aruch is best learned in the way we're doing it. Shulchan Aruch is best learned in the context of the Sugyas, and specifically the Torah Beis Yosef. Yosef Karo, before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, first wrote running commentaries with a focus on working out the Makoros for the two major Sifra Halacha of his time, the Rambam and the Torah. He wrote the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, he wrote the Beis Yosef on the Torah, because the Mishnah tends to be briefer, Beis Yosef is very expansive, really works out, unpacks the Sugya more, and then Shulchan Aruch, I believe chronologically he wrote later, and conceptually, it works to learn it later. Because in the Beis Yosef, he unpacks the whole sugya, and then the Shulchan Aruch was almost like the bottom line of Beis Yosef. I showed you the Gemara, I showed you all the different sheets that we showed him. Shulchan says, and by the way, here's how we pass him. But he's often assuming background. Not always. Well, sometimes you read Shulchan Aruch, it just tells you all the dinim. And maybe most of the time, you could just read it straight. But certainly there are a fair number of cases, and here's a prime example, of where if you worked your way through the Beis Yosef, so then you understand exactly what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. He's saying, we pass like that sheet. I already told you there's a Gemara and another Gemara and Machlokas Rishonim, and now he's saying, we pass like that sheet, not this sheet. But if you just start with the Shulchan Aruch, it could be very, very confusing. But that's the way it's meant to be. That's the way it's meant to be used. To learn Shulchan Aruch as a freestanding Kitzur Sefer is going to be very, very difficult. If I do that, you're better off with the Chayadim. But again, so Shulchan Aruch, confusing, because he presents the exception before the rule, but he says, quite clearly, but davar lach, yesh bishol acha bishol, but davar yavesh, ein bo barak, if it doesn't have fluid, doesn't have juice, so then, it doesn't have gravy, I should say, so then you have the rule of ein bishol acha bishol. You saw the Ramah fall somewhere in the middle. And the Ramah is sort of here. And the Ramah later on, Sif Tezvav, says, well, it depends. And he says, well, it depends whether what? It depends whether, because Mechaber said, right, that once it, if it's still hot, so then obviously it's fine, but once it cools down below Yad Selesbo, it's where it's halachically no longer hot, so to reheat it over Yad Selesbo would be a violation of Bishol again. The Ramah, because after all, to take a liquid and heat it from under Yad Selesbo to over Yad Selesbo is Bishol. Just like by food, from under Machal Ben Yisrael to over Machal Ben Yisrael is Bishol. That's the Gemara Menachas and Nun Zayin. So you have Shabbos Daf Mem Beis says to take a liquid, mine, Shemen, from under Yad Selesbo to over Yad Selesbo, that's a violation of Bishol. So the standard position of Rashi and the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch is if you have a liquid that was once cooked, but now it's under Yad Selesbo, so it's no different than it was before it was cooked. To move it over Yad Selesbo would be a problem of Bishol. The Ramah says, sort of like a pshara, he says, it's only usher to reheat it if it totally cooled off, and it's starting legamre. If it goes down to room temperature, there's no remnant of the original heat left, and I have soup that I left out. I have milk that's pasteurized. It was pasteurized in the factory, but it's long since lost any of that heat. Right? So that's nitzanin legami, totally cooled off. Or you had the soup, and then you had the meat with the gravy, and you left it on the counter for a few hours. Not so long that it's dangerous. It's a safety hazard, but long enough that it went down to room temperature. Or you have water. You boil the kettle, and then you left it out, and now overnight, now it's cold. So there the Rambam agrees, yesh bishul acha bishul. Take that cold water and put it back on the fire. That's a problem. But the Rambam says, but let's say you had heated it up, and you took it off the fire for a half hour, for an hour. So it starts to cool down, and it will dip below yaslezbo. But it's not 70 degrees. It's not room temperature. It's warm. 100 degrees. Under Yatz, let us go, but over room temperature. So Ramah is interesting. Chiddush and Siftas Vav. Then over there, I should say, Mutter. But sort of in between. The Ramah and the Raja would say, even if it's stone cold, it's Mutter because it's Ein Bishlach Abishal. The Rashi Rush Mechaber would say, as soon as it dips below Yatz, let us go, Aser. And the Mechaber, Ramah is a sort of Pshara. So that's a halacha. That's how we pass Ashkenaz and Paskin. That as long as it hasn't fully cooled off, if it's warm, it's still mutter to reheat it. But that becomes a machlokas achronim, some earlier achronim and then later achronim, Eglei Tal versus the Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish. What's the Ramah saying? Is he basically hold yesh b'shach abishol, but worked out a little bit of a kula? Or he basically holds ein b'shach abishol be added a chumra? And the Chazon Ish, Rav Moshe, I think, saying, this is, if you held Yesh Bishal HaBishal, then once you go on Yad Salazbo, how can you raise it above Yad Salazbo? This is Dach Bishal. They say, obviously, Ramah basically holds the Mutter. He basically, ironically, the Mechaber is passing like the Rush. Ramah is passing like the Rambam, according to that, and like the Hilchas Chanukah, ironically, according to their analysis. Basically, Ramah holds that the Ein Bishal HaBishal, but if it mamash cooled down, it's going to be confusing. So Mechzi, something like that, so they added a Chumrah. But basically, Mikra Din, that's one approach. The Mikra Din, Ramal is Ein Bishlach HaBishul. And but I think the earlier approach, previous generations, like Latala, maybe a Mograv Ram like this, no. Basically, Ramal is like the Mechaber. That Yesh Bishlach HaBishul Balach. That we are concerned about Bishul. Just, we have a little bit of a Kula. What's the Kula? So the Svara is, as long as there's some remnant left, you're right, if I have a liquid that was never heated, and I'm going to raise it to Yatz Lezbo, Bishul. But if I have this liquid, if the idea of Ein Bishul, if the Svar of Ein Bishul HaChavishul is that if the Svar of Ein Bishul HaChavishul is that once it was Mavushal, so there's no room for a new Bishul to come in, it's already Mavushal, right? And we spoke about it last time, that maybe the rationale to be mechalik between lach the rationale to mechalik between lach and yavesh may have to do with the fact that they're not just according to Rambam but according to everyone, they're different shiurim, Malchut ben Drusai versus Yatz Lezbo, and that may relate to the fact that as the Rambam formulates, so that he doesn't have this application, the Rambam formulates that cooking liquid means to heat it. Cooking food means to make it royal lachila. So then I understand saying that I have a liquid, kalzman there, it retains some of its heat, there's some remnant left of the bishul, so in bishul achavishul. That's sort of the, I think, the more classical svara for understanding the Ramah. That's how it gets sort of a little, that's how he ends up in the middle. That yes, he holds, again, halacha ma'aseh pasul like the Ramah. That by a davar lach, yesh bishal chavishal, if it totally cooled down, but not if it's still warm. Why? Either you say like Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish, that basically he holds ein bishal chavishal, but he has a chumrah if it totally cooled down, or you say the classical approach, that, I don't know, he basically holds yesh bishal chavishal, but that's only because the original bishal, i.e. the original chimum, is totally gone. I heated it, what is it after I heated it? But now it's cold. That's what they say, many Ramah things. As long as it's warm, it's not abidin hot. It's under Yatz Lezbo, it's cooled down to 100 degrees. It's not hot anymore. But there's some remnant left of that cooking, because it's now 100 degrees because because a few hours ago it was at 170, 180, so there's still some remnant left of the Bishul, so maybe that's enough to say we're not yet going to apply Yesh B'Shalach and B'Shal B'Lach.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's not a drabbanan. It could be. It's just like a later chumra rishonim. So there isn't that much of an alchemy for the following reason, and this is an important point that the Mishnah Berurah raises here. I believe he raises it here, although it really has broader application beyond this issue, which is halacha l'maisa. Whether you're Ashkenazi or Sephardi, you're going to, at least in many cases, certainly by the style of the Gamre, you're going to say you can't put it back. Totally cold liquid cannot be put back on the fire is going to be a problem. Achazara, but even if you avoid an achazara on top of the chalim pot, or to put it into klivishin that came off the fire, everyone agrees if it's totally cold liquid, you can't. There's a problem with bishul, and for svardim, as long as we went below yatzalatus boat, it's already a problem with bishul. However, as halacha l'maisa, we would definitely not allow you to take cold milk out of the fridge and warm it up, because it's mevushal, but it's not in lagamri. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out that if, let's say someone did, so Mishnah Berurah points out, he references what he wrote earlier at the beginning of the Siman, based on a pre-regadim, that although the beginning of the Siman discusses the issue of Masa Shabbos, the rules and regulations for when, to what extent is one not allowed to benefit from another, my own, or another Jew's Chil Shabbos, so if someone cooked the food, I might not be able to eat it on Shabbos, I might not even be able to eat it after Shabbos. That's what we call Masa Shabbos. That's the topic of the first two seats from this Siman. Mishnah Berurah puts the cloth of Prima Gadim that we never apply Maisa Shabbos. And to say that even post facto, the item is actually usher to use, we don't apply Maisa Shabbos in a situation where it's a pluk to the Rav Vasa. There's a legitimate machlokes of Rishonim, even though we happen to paskin usher, we would not allow you to do that behavior, but we wouldn't forbid the chayfetz b'diyeved. So let's say, for instance, if someone took cold milk out of the fridge and heated it up on top of the chalampa, so we wouldn't do that because it's lach, it's the style of the gamri, we're worried about bishlach and bishlach b'lach, but since, look, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ram, plenty of Rishonim hold that heter gamri lechatchila, the Rashba would have taken the milk, if he had pasteurized milk in his refrigerator, if he had a refrigerator and he had pasteurized milk, he would have taken it and put it on top of the chalampot lechatchila. So we don't paskin like him, we don't allow you to do it, but if someone did it, we don't apply Maisa Shabbos. Whenever there's a machlokas, and not in the chalampot.
I was going to say, that wasn't the question.
Yes. I was talking about vegan chalampot. Okay, so those are the issues. So let's review. This is one of the larger issues in this sugya, is a question of lach. So let's just recap before we move on, and then we'll add one more piece to lach, and one more practical piece to lach also. So again, when we're looking at the tensions, the ways in which, that's what I'm trying to draw out on the board this way, you have a hector and kuf and heading the shech abishal, but being pulled away, so one of the strings, one of the tensions pulling away from it, is Yud Ches and Lamed Aleph seem to indicate that Yesh B'Shalach HaBishal, by the Hatmana, by the Daipath, the Daivet. So Rashi's solution was, or the Rush understood that Rashi's solution, other Rishonim also say, the solution is that there's an exception to Ein B'Shalach HaBishal, namely Davar Lach, but Davar Lach Yesh B'Shalach HaBishal. And the Rambam and the Rashi and the Rashi disagree, and they say, no, there's other solutions to those Gemaras. They're not really exceptions to Ein Bishol Acher Bishol. So the Rambam and the Rashi are Meiko, and the Rashi and the Rashi Udi Imayu are Machmir. Halacha number one, so that's number one. Number two, and we discussed some of how the Rambam and the Rashi would offer alternative terutzim to those Gemaras. Number two, he said, in terms of Psak, Mechaber clearly paskins Ein Bishol Acher Bishol. Rama takes a middle position. Machlokes Achronim, what the Hezber of Rama is he basically saying it's mutter, but we're machmirin when if it cooled down, or basically it's aser, but as long as it's still warm, we can be makel. But either way, halacha lamasa, Ashkenazim assume that by a dry food, Ein bishrach official. You could put it on top of the chalom pot to warm up, or you could put it near the oven, but on top of the fire, and the place where it's going to warm up. That's fine. There's no bishul. If it's liquid and it totally cooled down, then we are concerned with bishul. One more point is the question of what exactly is called lach versus yavish. That is, contemporary poskim go back and forth as how dry is dry. They go, you go minat katzah la katzah. There is a line in a Beis Yosef in Reish and Gimel, I believe, that sounds like as long as it's mostly solid, I have a pot of food and it's mostly solid, that's called yavish. There's a line in the Beis Yosef that sounds like that. That you go bust a rove, which is, wow, that's quite a kula. I have a pan with chicken and gravy, but the mice is mostly chicken. From the Beis Yosef Reish and Gimel sounds like we can make a Beis Yosef Shin Yiches does not sound like that. The Acharim start discussing is there a typo or do we have to figure out what the Beis Yosef meant to one of those two places? How are you going to resolve it? So there are those who are willing to make on one extreme. The most makel position is to say as long as it's rove yavish, we can call that yavish and we can make in bishrach habishal. On the other extreme, there are poskim who talk about mamish dry, a piece of chicken. Right, the chicken was seeing some liquids. I take the chicken, I'm going to put it in foil, put it on top of the chalom pot. So our post would say, Imamish, you have to like pat it down with a paper towel. Because if there are drops of liquid, it's a problem. I think my impression is that the predominant view, I was actually looking at Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa, but he would have what to say. I couldn't find, doesn't seem to comment about it at all. I'm going to say this, I was looking in the wrong place. I looked throughout the paragraph. I was hoping for at least a footnote. At the beginning, he defined terms. He talks about the different categories of bishul, as you know, fire, kli rishon, yiri, kli rishon, kli sheni. And he says there are different types of foods. There's solid, liquid, was cooked, wasn't cooked, cooked fully, cooked partially, not cooked at all. I thought he would say something about what lach versus yavish. He just says lach means nazil, and it's a real liquid. My impression is that the predominant view in poskim is that you don't have to dry off the droplets. But if there's like if there's actually liquid pooling on the bottom of the pan, even though basically you have a pan of chicken, but there is liquid at the bottom, and then you have to make sure you have pools of liquid. You have to avoid that. Well, just because why should Iker and Tuffel matter? There is liquid. The liquid is being reheated as bishul. So, but I think it's assumed that you take the chicken out of the liquid, and you put it in a piece of foil, mastik. You don't have to start patting down every drop. That mamish is Tuffel to the. That's mamish tough. That's a little bit like the. I didn't see anyone who quotes this, but Gemara in Yuma talks about the tzir shal gabi hayerek. In Yuma, there's also a differentiation yonid yoma between food and beverage in terms of the shear. Right, that the shear for achilas koseves hagas, the shear for shdia is milo lugma. So Gemara talks about. So I have a salad dressing on the salad. We pashtas. We assume that's not. The Shefter actually has a somewhat different approach to that Gemara, or suggests maybe that salad dressing is not a beverage. The thing is also assume the Gemara is also indicating that's really a salad. Basically, the fact you have droplets of liquid on the lettuce, but that's all really tofel to the lettuce. So my impression is that is the predominant view. You seem very troubled.
No, I was not troubled, just asking about congealed.
That's coming up at the end of the Siman. The end of the Siman is a sif about the Shemen Karish. What do you do if you have... Right, so it starts a solid, but you know it's gonna turn to liquid when you put it on. Yeah, the other issue that the Trump Post can discuss, maybe we'll talk about that later on also, is not just we have a mix of solid and liquid, but what do you do when you have a single item which is itself somewhere between solid. What do you do with ketchup? You want to reheat ketchup. Why someone reheats ketchup, I'm not really sure. Apparently, there are people who like warm ketchup. I guess you don't want to cool down the meat. I'm not sure. When I warm up ketchup, that's in Machlokes contemporary poskim. Yashiv and others, yes, no. I think the Shmir Shabbos is assumed lahakel because he says that the lach means nazil. So it sounds like it's really, I believe, means really liquid. But that's another contemporary post. Maybe we'll see more of that when we get to the Shavim Karsh. But that wraps up this first major topic in Ein Bishul HaBishul of the question of Lach. Yeah, Jake.
Rashi and the Rush hold that if it loses any heat, it's not usher to reheat it up. If it loses any of the
No, everyone agrees, let's just be clear. Everyone agrees that as long as it remains above Yad Soledes Bo, I think we certainly assume the way Lahalacha. That as long as it remains above Yad Soledes Bo, we would allow you to put it back on the fire. Oh, right. Without avoiding the Deem Drabban of Shein HaChzara, but put it back in a place that's going to warm up more. That everyone agrees. As long as it's above Yad Soledes Bo, put it back on. If it's stone cold, or whatever, if it's room temperature, then even the Ramah agrees you may not put it back on. And Machlok is Mechar Ramah, is let's say, you ready to dip below Yad Soledes Bo, but it's still warm. It's not hot, but it's not room temperature. So it retains some remnant of the original cooking. That's when the Mechar Bo Mimachmer and the Ramah is Ramah's Mekel.
Beyond
Yad Soledes Bo, but still warm, Ramah says you could, no problem, you can put it back on. So let's say you have your chicken with the gravy that pooled on the bottom, and then but it was warm, you took it off the fire, then you want to put it back on Friday night. See, if the liquid's still warm, so go ahead and put it on with the gravy. But if you're an Ashkenazi. But if the liquid's cold, then you're gonna have to start pulling the meat or chicken out and figuring that out. Yeah.
To clarify, the standard of the gangway is gonna be like room temperature,
it's only
cold.
The style of the gamma means room temperature. Because I think the svara, means room temperature. I know the other shim are going to start soon, so no one, if you want to leave, by all means, I want to wrap up, I want to see the rest of the sugya. Anyone who wants to go to any of the 4:30 shurim, no one should feel uncomfortable about leaving. So the second issue is the issue of Afu. It's really the other major issue, and then we'll wrap up with the two smaller discussions of Machal Ben Drusai and Davar Shem Zarech Bishol. Now the Afu is fascinating. So you saw the need a little bit of beer just to understand the back and forth from Rishonim. I think Gemara had a chance at some very vigorous Baruch Hashem, vigorous discussions over the course of the week in the Beis Medrash. So let's just try to put it all together. So you have a machlokas Rabbi Yossi, and you have a comment of Rabbi Yossi. Meir says that you have a matzah that you soaked in water, and a matzah that you cooked, no problem, go ahead and use it. Rabbi Yossi says not so fast. If you soaked in water, that's fine. It's still kasher. Right? And that's sometimes what we even recommend l'chatchila, someone who's unable to, someone with denture, someone who's, for whatever reason, medically unable to, because of weakness, unable to eat normal matzah, sometimes we'll recommend that you soak in water, soften it, and it'll be easier to swallow. But Rabbi Yossi says, to soak in water is one thing, soak in water for a little bit, at least for a short period of time, he says, but to cook it, rakek ha-mavushol, you have a matzah that was already baked, fully done matzah, and then you boiled it. But Yossi says, now it's no longer kosher. And Yerim says, aha, I see from there that even though it's already baked, the cooking can matter. And the Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't see anything with that, right? That was a machlokas, the Yerim and the Rabbi Yossi. And we'll soon see that the other Shams seem to be getting involved. Just a word, just a technical point before we jump in. This man, I believe he was a Talmud Rabbeinu Tam. I believe he was Rabbeinu Tam's primary German Talmud, Rabbeinu Eliezer of Mitz. The Re, the Rabbeinu Tam's nephew, Rabbeinu Yitzchak of Dampierre, so he's usually seen as Rabbeinu Tam's primary French Talmud. I think Yerim is the main, or whatever, one of the main, one of the primary German Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, I believe. He's known by several different names, and they're similar, so it's a little confusing. His name was Rabbeinu Eliezer, and he was from the town of Mitz. So Reish Aleph Mem is Rabbeinu Eliezer of Mitz. But he also wrote a sefer called Yerim. So it's something he referred to by a sefer. And it happens to be his sefer and his name, I don't know by design or not, are sort of similar. But those are both legitimate names for the same person. Really, Ezra Mitz, author of the Sefer Yireh. So he's the one who says, aha, I see this Gemara, an exception. I see this Gemara by Darafa, Yesh Bishon HaChabisho. And then Rav Yah, you saw the Beis Yosef quotes to Mordechai, quotes to Rav Yah, another one of the German Shomans says, no exception. So what's going on? Same person. So you take a look at that Gemara. The truth is, Rashi and Tosfos also seem to both line up with the Yireh. Because the question is, why is a cooked matzah possible? What's wrong? It's matzah, not chametz. It's made from chametz mini dagan. It didn't become chametz. It's not raw. What's wrong? Right? The Torah says that it can't be chametz. The Torah says it has to be lechem oni, poor man's bread. So it is. So what's wrong that you cooked it? So Rashi makes a comment, and then Tosfos responds to it. You need to understand Tosfos. There's a context that you need in order to appreciate Tosfos. And then we were talking about this over the course of the week. And then I was very excited. You showed me the footnote to the Tosfos of Rash in Brachas. He points out that the Tziv says it's pshat. So that was very, very exciting. Rashi says it's not bread anymore. So it was matzah, but then you cooked it, so now it's not bread. And Tosfos starts saying, not bread, it must be, really, if Rashi thinks it's not bread, it must be things we're talking about, batter. But I don't think we're talking about batter, I think we're talking about dough. So that's what they're reading. Tosfos says, no, it became matzah shira. What are Rashi and Tosfos talking about? So the background is as follows. There's a Tosfos earlier, Daf Lamed Zayin, I believe it was, in Pesachim, and there's a Mishnayos in the first parak of Chala to talk about the following. And here's the background to the discussion of the sugya. Every once in a while you have a concept, a definition of an item that applies, and there are many such cases, we have an item that has a certain halachic definition, halach forever, and applies to multiple areas of halacha. That sounds actually an interesting diversion. You're relaxing, you're on the bus, whatever, so sort of pick an item and see how many different areas of halacha involve that item. Right? You ask yourself, how many different areas of halacha apply to one particular species of animal? Actually, a number. How many different areas of halacha apply to one particular species of non-kosher animal? Okay. So you can ask yourself, how many different areas of halacha relate to the concept of lechem, bread? And bread in Chumash appears in several contexts. You have a concept of lechem by hafreshes challah, the concept of lechem by birkas hamazon. We assume birkas hamazon only applies to bread, pashtos. The chumash in Ekev, kapsukim earlier, eretz hashav miskin is tocha ba lechem, b'chatu zot v'rechta. That's only lechem. So you have lechem by birkas hamazon. Even birkas hamazon there, I say lechem by hafreshes challah. You have lechem by matzah, because it's called lechem oni. Then you also have lechem midrabanan by the din of pasach. So the question is, what is lechem? What does it mean to be lechem? So one thing we know that lechem is it has to be made from one of the grains that could become chametz. We pass them, there are five such grains, chita zara, shibol shul, kusman, and shifa. Sure, the five grains usually translated as wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. That's number one, you have to have the right ingredients. Number two, it has to be prepared in the right way. So what type of preparation makes it into lechem? That already is machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish in the Gemara, and then further machlokas, so we shown him how to fit that together with Mishnayos and how it all pans out. Sorry, no pun intended. So Rabbi Tam says the following. There are two variables at play. Number one, you could take flour and make it into dough, or you could take flour and mix a lot of liquid and make it into a batter, like the way you make a cake. But that's what's referred to as blila ava and blila raka. Blila ava, the thick mixing, means that it's a dough, it's a bowl of dough, and blila raka, thin mixing, means that you have a liquid. If you spend time in the kitchen, you know there's a big difference between making cookies and making cake. And either way you bake it, but the cake, you take what's more or less a liquid with flour and lots of other things in it, and you put it in a pot or a pan, and you bake it. And when it bakes, it turns solid. The cookies or bread are already dough, and you're baking them to bake them, but they're already solid. So that's Belila Ava versus Belila Raka. The other, so that's one issue, is what was the preheat preparation. The other question is, how exactly did you heat it? Was it dry heated, or was it wet heated? Was it baked, afia, dry, or was it cooked in liquid? Either in water, boiled, cooked in water, or deep fried in oil. Either way, but deep frying means it's not just to have a little bit of oil on the bottom, but you might have to put it in hot oil. So folks can point out multiple contexts that deep frying is the same as cooking, just you're cooking in oil instead of in water. So those are the two questions. As an aside, it's filed away for a different time, the differentiation between dry heat and wet heat, between baking and pan frying and grilling, bishul, tigun, salia, the dry heat versus the wet heat of bishul in water or deep frying in oil, that comes up in multiple contexts. It comes up in the world of being machshir kalim, tam and kalim. That's the big difference between kasher in a pot, kasher in a frying pan. Not for now. But right now it comes up here in the definition of lechem. And from that we're going to get to bishul versus afiyah and perhaps in the chashavs. So Rabbeinu Tam says that there are two ways to be bread. Bantam says that if you're dough, you're automatically bread, whether you cook it or bake it. The Bantam says if it's dough, you're automatically bread. For Bantam, bread. Or if you bake it, even if it's a batter, it's bread. So Bantam says, sure, you take dough and you bake it, that's normal bread. But even he says either one, either the lisha, because it's dough, you knead it as dough, can make it bread. So even if you take dough and you boil, let's say, you take, make donuts with a dough base. The two ways to make donuts, you make donuts with a dough base or with batter. You make donuts with a dough, you take bowls of dough, you put them, and you deep fry them in oil, a cup of Hanukkah. So Bantam says, that's bread, because it was already dough. So I don't care whether you bake it or cook it, it's dough, it's bread. And then he says, let's see, you had a cake batter. So it was batter originally. Batter isn't lechem, but if you baked it, the baking makes sense. He says, either the lisha, the gilgul, or the afir, either one can make it into lechem. The Rosh Misham, one of the prominent Rishonim, particularly in the world of Zerah and Taros, because he wrote a perish on all of Zerah and Taros, he also led an aliyah of many, I think well over 100 Bayatosis and their Baal Batim to Eretz Yisrael in the 1200s. I believe the Ramban met them. When Ramban came to Israel, I think he found that community was already there. I don't know whether the fact that the Rash wrote a parish on Zrog and Taurus is connected to the fact that he either was already in Eretz Yisrael or was considering moving or is independent. But either way, the Rash in Parish of Chala, Paragalf Mishnehei, he says, I disagree with Rabbi Tam. I disagree with Rabbi Tam. The Rosh quotes this extensively. And it appears that if you the Beis Yosef in Shin Chav Tes in Yerodin, Hilchos Chala, talks about this extensively. But the Rosh says it's not true. The Rosh says it has to be baked. This case, where you cook dough, Rabbi Tam says it's lechem, the Rosh says it is not lechem. As an aside to the third shita, which is that of the Rabbah, who says that cake is not lechem. Okay, that doesn't really make it onto the page of Shachar. The two major shitas are the Tam and the Rosh. Well, Maisa, what do they argue about? Cooked dough, that's relevant to us. And that is the back, in other words, for the Rosh, the only way to be bread is to be dough. Excuse me, for the Rosh, the only way to be bread is to be baked. The Ben Tam, you can either be dough, you can be bread, you can be lechem, because you're baked, or because you're dough. Because you're a fear, or because you're gil. That ki machokas, whether cooked dough is lechem or not, is what you need, is the key to understanding the Tosfos on Mem Aleph in Tzachim. Because Rashi said, what? Rashi said, oh, I had the matzah, but then I cooked it, now it's no good, because now Rabbi Yosef says, because now it's not lechem. The Tosa says, it's not lechem, why not? He says, oh, it must be Rashi thinks it's batter. So you look at that matrix and they understand why. Tosas, the Re, apparently, Halak, is uncle of Tam. So he says, if it's dough, according to Tam, it's always lechem. What does it matter if it's cooked or baked? So that's why the Re can't understand Rashi. He says, Rashi must think we're talking about a batter. They made a matzah from a batter? I mean, I guess in theory you could. seems like an awkward case. That's why Tosis gives an alternative shot to Rashi. Rashi may have thought they were talking about batter, okay? More likely, Rashi thought, and then I'm glad you showed me that Tzivtaka says this, that Rashi holds like the Rush. So Rashi says, no, cooked dough is not lechem. That's what Rashi says. If you cook it, you undo the afiyah, now it's cooked dough instead of baked dough, you mafkiyah the sheikh lechem. That's like oatmeal. If you make hot oatmeal, hot cereal, even if it's not chametz, it's not matzah, it's not lechem. That's a lechem only. And that's why the Ri said, no, it is lechem, because the Ri is not going to be on top. Cooked dough is still lechem. So he says, it can't be that by cooking it, you're mafkiyah the sheikh lechem. Why? Let it be cooked dough. I don't like it on top. Cooked dough is also lechem. So he says, but cooking does something else. It's not mafkiyah the sheikh lechem, but it is mafkiyah the oni. It's not enough for matzah to be lechem. Yes, it's a dinner for Rosh Challah on cooked dough, says the Ri. Like, you know, it's lechem. That's the question. It's cooked dough. If you make a lot of donuts, you have to make Rosh Challah on it. It's much like it's in the Rosh. So the Ri says, I hold like my uncle that if you cook dough, it's lechem. It's not different from Rosh Challah, but it's not matzah. Why is it not matzah? Because it's not enough to be lechem. It also has to be lechem boni, as opposed to matzah shira. So the Ri says, it's Rashi said when you cook it, you take away the lechem. The Ri says, it's still lechem, but it's not lechem boni. Because once it's cooked, because matzah mevushelas is considered to be enriched. It's not the poor man's bread. Poor man's bread, the Gemara says, there are several things need to be in place to make a poor man's bread. You can't have other ingredients in the recipe that will enrich it. It can't be very, very big. Otherwise, it seems too wealthy. And perhaps it has to be, at some point later on, it has to be broken in order to be lechem oni. And it has to be baked and not cooked. That's the way the Ri is reading the sukkah. Okay. So, again, take a question a moment. So again, Rashi and Tosfos look at that Gemara Pesachim and debate why did Rabbi Yossi think that the Bishul made this possible? Did the Bishul undo the status as Lechem, Rashi, or Ri says it didn't undo the status as Lechem, but it didn't do the status of Lechem only, because now it's Matzah Ashira. But so that's what they disagree on. But once you realize how to read the Tosfos, so then you see they disagree over what the Bishul, which quality of the matzah is being impacted by the bishul. But they both agree that it is considered now to be mevushal and not apui. Both Rashi and Tosfos agree that we now categorize this as cooked dough instead of baked dough. They dispute, does that make it not lechem or just not lechem oni? So in the world of matzah, it matters. Or in the world of shame lechem, it matters. Afarshas challah and benching. Do I have to bench if I have a pile of donuts? Yay high! Kaveisu the donuts. So it depends. Right? If you hold like a tam, that's lechem. You kaveisu on it. You got to bench of the donuts. According to the Rash, there's nothing doing. It's not lechem. You can eat all you want. You shouldn't eat all you want. But no matter how much you eat, it's only going to be an alamechia. Right? But taking it back here to the world of Hilchos Shabbos, the Chor, Rashi, and Tosfos both agree that it is true that the Bishul undoes. It used to be a Dover Avoy, and now it's a Dover Mavushal. It can only have one status, and the switch was flipped. And that's exactly what the Rebbe was saying. And it seems like both Rashi and Tosfos himself have agreed to that point. The Beis Yosef has a comment after quoting the Rav Yod, disagreeing with the Rebbe. Beis Yosef has a comment. Rashi is both Pesachim and Brachas. Tosfos is only Pesachim. The Beis Yosef has a comment that Tosfos and Pesachim agrees. Tosfos and Pesachim disagrees with Rashi, so he agrees with the Rav Yod, which is very hard to understand. I was excited to see it in the new tours. There's a note in the Shiras Dvorah edition, not the one the first new tour. The red new tour, not the black new tour. And the red new tour, they have a footnote on the bottom where they point out that it's a very difficult line to Beis Yosef. Because Tosfos seems, if you read Tosfos slowly and carefully, it seems pretty clear that he agrees with Rashi on the core idea of Bishul undoing the Afiyah. So it's a difficult line. I was glad to know that the Tamilcham out there were bothered by this. The Rav Yoh had a third, the Rav Yoh disagrees with the Urayim and Rashi Tosfos, because he saw in the Gemara Brachas a third explanation of Rabbi Yossi. Why is a cooked matzah pasul? Not because it's not lechem, not even because it's lechem but not oni, but the Rav Yor took the Gemara Brachas at face value, because the Gemara Brachas is the line that, oh, but in ta matzah v'lecha. You don't have the matzah flavor. The Gemara is trying to explain why cooked matzah is no longer good, but cooked vegetables are still a ha'adam. So the Gemara explains, cooked vegetables, it's still vegetables. Cooking doesn't undo the essential identity of the item. It doesn't just automatically turn it into generic mush. No, it's still a vegetable. A boiled potato is still a potato. Aye, a boiled matzah is not a matzah. The Gemara says, no, don't worry. That's unique to matzah because you're missing. It's a matzah, but you're missing. But you don't have matzah v'leka. You don't have the tam matzah. So Rav Yehuda read that literally. He says the problem is it doesn't taste right. Meaning nothing halachic that didn't change the halachic categories. So Rav Yehuda said, look, I mean it's still awfully. The bishul didn't matter on a formal level. It just that practically changed the flavor. But Rashi, and that's a good point. The Gemara Brachas does sound like that. So what happened with Rashi and Tosfos do that? And haray, Rashi even says his vart about you lost the Shein Lechem in the Gemara in Brachas itself.
Well, Rashi could just be saying that in the Havamina.
It could be. So it could be it's in the Havamina. It could be it's in the Havamina. And it could be Rashi holds Machlokes HaSugyos because in Tzachim it's even Maskana. Okay, which is certainly impossible. Ladako shall Rashi. If you look at the Tos Rashi Brachas, you could be madchik, but the simple reading Tos Rashi Brachas, he thinks he's saying exactly what Tosa said in Pesach. So I think the way out, I think the way to understand it,
Tosa himself explains that
what?
And other Amar.
Yeah, and?
And that Ula is the one who brought up Rabbi Yossi and Brachos and is not the one who had the Tam Matzah.
Yeah.
And he's the one in the same set.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem is that we Lamaisa, we do Halacha Lamaisa accept the answer of being Tam Matzah V'laka. Because Lamaisa, we hold that cooked vegetables are Hadama. Unless it's a very extreme type of cooking and you ruin it. But if it was a normal cooking of vegetables, we assume that Bishul doesn't destroy the essential identity of the thing, and yet Raki Kama Vushul is a problem. So, but I think that you make a depression Tos Rashi also, and then the footnote you showed me seems to support that I think the Parsha Pshat is, what Kohen Rashi tells us the Gemara is saying like this, not just Tam Matzah is a concept that appears elsewhere, but the Gemara here is probably using it loosely. What the Gemara is trying to say is, I think, the following. Don't think that Bishul automatically destroys or wipes clean the whole identity of the item. No. The Gemara says, no. We don't pass in that way. We assume that a cooked potato, a boiled potato is still a potato. It's a hadama. It's not just raw. It's not just considered to be bland mush, generic mush, generic food is shakal. No. It still retains its identity as a potato. However, that's fine when you're dealing with a potato. But if you're dealing with matzah, so it's not just a question of what its natural identity is. There's a formal chal shem, there's a halachic category for this artificially created item called bread, or more specifically for Tosas, called lechem oni. So, and that the category of lechem throughout halacha, as we saw, is defined by, it's an artificial item. I mean, literally artificial. Matzah is a manufactured item. Lechem is a manufactured item. It's not a natural item like a potato. And the definition of what's called lechem has to do with how it's manufactured. Right? Was it dough? Was it batter? Was it baked? Was it cooked? Well, and certainly lechem only has to do with how it's manufactured. So that's what the Gemara is probably saying. That, yeah, a potato is still a potato. It's not that Bishul wipes clean the previous identity, but Bishul may tinker with whether it's classified as matzah, because to be matzah you have to be afwey, or at least to be lechem oni you have to be afwey. So that's the Gemara saying. We're saying Bishul doesn't automatically wipe clean identity, but matzah has specific criteria, and specific parameters to define the category of lechem or lechem oni, and the Bishul will and it actually has to do with Bishul versus not Bishul. So that's why Bishul is specifically relevant there. So again, the simplest reading of the Gemara Brachas does support the Rav Yehuda, but we see how the other Rishonim could disagree. Halacha Maisa, we are Machmer. So we says, we are machmer yesh bisho achar afia, that if you have the bread is fully cooked, but to put it into the hot soup, it could be a problem. You take a piece of bread and dump it into your soup pot, even after it's off the fire. Shal gavi yesh, no problem of vachazara, but it could be a problem of bisho. It could be a problem of bisho. A side point, it becomes a very large side point, but it's really a side point, is how about a cliché? We're going to hold off on that for now, because really, we're going to get to Mitzvah after Yontif, the discussion, to deal properly with the discussion of Klishim Klishim, but we're going to return here. There's already a lot of conversation about that here. The soup nuts. Soup nuts. How do you know how to use soup nuts? How do you use soup nuts? Oh, the answer is they are deep fried. So deep fried is often not healthy for you. They might not be healthy with the soup nuts either, but it's halachically helpful in the sense of sin theory, as we said before. Whether you're boiled in water or deep fried oil is all the same. The soup nuts are perfect because they're mavusho, but totally dry. So that's why they're neither afoy nor lach, and that's why you can feel free to, even if you can even put the soup nuts into the klirishin as long as it's not on the fire. And once you take the, if everyone loves soup nuts, so you could take the soup pot off the fire, put it down on the counter, put it on the trivet, and pour the soup nuts in. If you wanted to do that, that would be fine, because it's mevushal. It's mevushal in oil. So that's why, Shmuel Shabbos points out, that's why it is fine. Poskim have a discussion, they point out the pashtas, it goes both ways. The pashtas, you should say, just like yesh bishal achar afiyah, also yesh afiyah achar bishal. And that's why some poskim, if you had something that was boiled, could I reheat it dry? I don't want to put it on with liquid because the bishlach of bishlach b'lach. Can I take the boiled potatoes and dry them and put them on top of the challah pot to warm? So some poskim said chazish was nekel. He said sleem is mamash, like, you know, directly on the fire game, like a grilled toasting a little bit. But many are machmir that it was mamash submerged in liquid originally, mamash boiled in liquid, so maybe you can't dry it off and reheat it dry because that'll be a fiyach abishal. If you have chicken, so that's a machlok, the poskim, ask your local Orthodox halachic authority. But it should be noted, but that's not a problem with, let's say, a chicken in a pan that you baked, and there was some liquid in the bottom. But that's definitely, I think everyone would agree, you can reheat that chicken dry on Shabbos, because that wasn't submerged in liquid originally. We're not going to put the pan, you're not going to reheat it in the original pan with all the pools of liquid on the bottom, but the chicken itself is basically a davar afui. And it's baked chicken, that's what we call it, baked chicken. And that's why it's not a problem to reheat it. Questions? Jacob?
Wait, so can I just repeat what we did with the Tosfos on how he ends up agreeing with Rashi?
Yeah, what do we do with the...
For a couple of Shabbos purposes, and then I got a little lost.
What Tosfos would do with what?
Like we had the note on the bottom of the new Torah.
Let's just recap the Afoy briefly. We have a Gemara which, just like we had two Gemaras that seem to have an exception for Ein Bishlach Bishlach in terms of Lach, we do have two Gemaras that record the same Sheet of Yossi. It seems to indicate that Ein Bishlach Bishlach is not in play when it comes to a Davar Afoy. And we saw it, Urain points out explicitly, and Rashi and Tosas imply that because they say that the reason why this, the baked cooked matzah is no longer kosher is because either it's now considered cooked and therefore isn't lechem, Rashi, or it's now considered cooked instead of baked and therefore isn't lechem oni. Either way, it's now cooked rather than baked. Rashi seems to say that pretty, Rashi Tosas seems to say that pretty clearly. The Beis Yosef tries to use Tosas as a support to the Rav Yah, and that's difficult because simple read of Tosas is that he is in line with the Urain. So you have to figure out how to be Tosas read Tosas, how we reading Tosas. But halacha l'maisa, it supports the fact that we are machmer for the Urain. Okay. let's talk briefly. Those were really the two major lightning rods in the sugya, where they crush a lach and afwe. Let's talk very briefly about the Ein Tzarech Bishul, the Machlokes Drusayim. So the Ein Tzarech Bishul, so again, that post on some of the Mefarshim point out that Gemara, Shabbos Mem and Beis, is the source for the Shita of the Rambam, that something that does not need Bishul, there is no Bishul on. Right? We saw that, we spoke about that in the Pre-Chabura, the Pre-Sugya Chabura, and that's Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, if you cook something that's very Mevushal called Sarko, or Dover Shein Tzarech Bishul Klal, something that doesn't need Bishul at all. So last time we pointed out that one approach to some Achronim have to the Rambam is that like it's like the same category as Nechal Chai by Bishul Akum, and from perhaps the same idea that you haven't really cooked it. Because cooking means, especially as Rambam just said earlier in Halacha Aleph, the Av Melacha is either heating water or taking food and making it edible, cooking it. So if it's already edible, so then you haven't cooked. And then that would be the same lamdas as Mavushal Kol Sarko. Also, you're changing the flavor of Mesamak V'Yafalo, you're making it warm, it's more enjoyable, but you haven't done Bishul, because Bishul means taking the inedible food and making it edible through heat. Either you haven't done that because it was already made edible, or because it was always naturally edible, and it's artificial call. That's if you assume that the Rambam is saying that the same category as Nechal Chai, something that's edible raw, may taste different, like baked apples may taste different cooked, but it's already edible raw. That's the most expansive view of the Rambam's Kula. But not many Acharonim disagree. I think I sent you to the Sharatian, the Kofi Adalad, who already talks about the, and others also talk about, man, if you look at in the new Frankel, which is luxurious in terms of to borrow a line that I was told of Aaron Lichtenstein, that's how I said that the Shita Mikubetzes on Ksubas. You look at Shita Mikubetzes, right? There's one volume, the first volume is a whole bunch of Masechtas, and each of the Babas has its own volume, and then Ksubas has two. He said, I think the line he used was, Shita Mikubetzes on Ksubas is a veritable thicket. So this too is a veritable thicket, organized well, but you're swimming in Maror Mekoymus. So you look in the back on this Rambam, Halacha Av, Halacha Gimel, they give you plenty of Achrom to look at who have different ways of interpreting the Sharatzin, where it gets you started with that. What does it actually mean? I presented the most makel approach, the most expansive approach, is anything that's Nechal Chai. Anything that's Nechal Chai is for Rambam's Ein Bishul Akum. And that's, again, that's, I believe, I will have said that perhaps, that's the same lumdus as, I'm not sure. I take that back. I'm not sure if I will say that. But there are definitely those who suggest that. Then it's very geschmack in terms of the Rambam putting the two dinim together. There's the same lumdus for both. There is a Rat Tosvis later in Shabbos Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, who in a Drabbanan context talks about such a notion that maybe we should be more makel on apples because they're edible raw. And Tosfos says the Mishnah your test talks about onions being a problem, but that's because you could eat them raw. That's Nechal Chai Aydei Adachak. Whereas apples are Nechal Veshofik, totally Nechal Chai. We make that distinction in Bishul Akum also. The Nechal Chai means it's comfortably Nechal Chai, not necessarily Nechal Chai Aydei Adachak. If you needed to, you could eat a raw onion. That's not necessarily considered to be Nechal Chai. So that's the most expensive. And the Tosfos is not talking about Tosfos is not talking about what's it called, about Bishul, talking about Din Drabanan, but what's his name? The footnote, the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasin, the footnote rate points out that Tosfos may be relevant, and later Chachmei Ashkenaz do apply that thinking, maybe it's Rebbein Yerucham, I forget, do apply that thinking to Bishul also, so that really lines up with the most expansive view of the Rambam. But many of Mishnah Berurah and others say, we're not so sure the Rambam really meant that. Maybe he meant Ein Tzarech Bishul Klal. Maybe it just means not just that it could be eaten raw, but that it doesn't need the Bishul at all. That it's not even going to help. And there's, in terms of, so I guess something that's mistamak viralo, or just isn't impacted by heating. But apples, there's a reason why people bake apples. Some people like apples raw, and some people like apples baked. It's a different taste. It clearly was a chemical change, and some people enjoy it more, whether it's the caramelization, the softening, whatever it is. So many severely limit. Number one, other Rishon doesn't necessarily even quote the Rambam's cool at all. And the question is also, how far would the Rambam go with this? That cool does not get you very far, but that is one of the four issues about a Davrish and Tzar Bishol Klal, which again may fall under the same rubric as in Bishol Achavishol or not. And then finally, the question of Malchal Ben Drusoy. So that's litigated heavily by the Rishonim. So Daf Lama Test, the explicit Machlokas Tosas versus Rashba in the same location. And Tosas says that they only have to ask me Vushal called Sarko. And if it just Machlok Ben Drusoy, you don't say in Bishol Achavishol. Right. And the Rashba says, no, as soon as you get to Machlok Ben Drusoy, it's already in Bishol Achavishol. So the Rambam here clearly, in Tes Gimel, Luchora clearly says, that it's only when it's Mavushal called Sarko. We saw the Rambam later gets a little complicated. That's difficult to figure out what the Rambam is driving at. And we saw it's a different layout of Rishonim. Right over here, it was who? Over here, it was the. Those who say that over here, Yesh Bishol Achabishol, that if it's just Kamachal Ben Drusoy, you can't apply the heter of Kuf Memei. So that was who? That was Tosis. And that was the Rambam. Those who said, no exception, you were apply Bishol Achabishol, was the Rosh and the Rashba. So the Rishonim don't necessarily all line up. Right? In terms of the issues presumably are independent. You could give similar lumdis for some of these things, as we spoke about last time. That doesn't mean any one Rishon accepted lumdis in all cases. In other words, let's say if you say that the Rambam's approach that Machlok Ben Drusoy, it's not yet, there's still more Bishul that could be done. I could still accomplish Bishul. Tavar Shein Tzar Bishul Klal, there I can't accomplish Bishul. It goes back to the core notion of what Bishul is, so that could play itself out by Afui also. And by the way, the Rambam is assumed to be a Rav Yoman, because post can point that he never distinguishes between, never makes a differentiation. That also is consistent with that thinking, that if you take that approach, the Rambam is driven by the core definition of what Bishul is, that once it's already baked, so you're not making a royal achila when you take the bread and you cook it. It's not making royal achila. You're making it more tasty. You're not making a royal achila. And then finally, we said that the Rambam here, that here is where it breaks down in terms of trying to say that the Rambam is all lishitasa. Okay, but the other Rishonim may be driven by Rambam-like thinking in terms of looking at the core definition of what Bishul is. Okay, but either way, it's certainly a single machlokas. The Rishonim are mixing and matching, as you see from laying them out. Halacha lemaisa, here too we are machmir. Shulchan Aruch is consistent. And all these issues are machmir. We're machmir, and we limit it in Bishol Chabishol as much as possible. It does not apply to Dabar Lach, it does not apply to Dabar Afui, and it does not apply below Mavushal, because if you just kemachal ben drusoy, you saw the Bir Halacha lays out many, many Rishonim on several of these issues, and particularly in terms of Machlok Ben Drusoy, lays out extensive list of Rishonim who says what. And again, the issue is everyone agrees that to get something over the Machlok Ben Drusoy line is Bishul. The question can be subsequent Bishul afterwards. There is a notion of Karuvi Bishul. It's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Even if they're ready cooking, gaining something closer, moving it closer towards Bishul is Bishul. But the Rashba would say that's only, it's on the fire, hasn't yet gotten to Machlok Ben Drusoy. That's the discussion of Beit Zadol Alam Adal. Right? You contribute to Bishul, I contribute to Bishul, you put it on the fire, then I stir it and move it closer. So Rashba said that's all happening before Machlok Ben Drusoy. Once you hit Machlok Ben Drusoy, done. And others say, no, the whole notion of Kruvi Bishul is that you could do Bishul, but then there can be more. And that's the approach of the of the Tosfos of the Rambam that yes, once you get over Malchus Ben Yisrael, that's already considered Bishul, but taking another step, another step, another, can continue to be Bishul all the way until Mevushal called Zarko. I'm continuing to make it increasingly edible. And I apologize, I'll close with one note, which is, I said before that the base Mr. Brewer makes a point of Ma'aseh Shabbos over here by Lach. In fact, I think it was a mistake. He says it over here. The Malchus Ben Drusoi. Again, Halacha L'Maisa, Shulchan Aruch is quite clear that we only would allow you to put stuff back on to warm up if it's already Mevushal called Sarko. We are Machmer for Tosis of the Rambam that if it's not Mevushal called Sarko, moving it forward from Mevushal called Sarko towards Mevushal called Sarko, from Malchus Ben Drusoi. Mevushal called Sarko, if you move it from a third or a half cooked, right? That was Machlokes Rashi Rambam. Rashi says Mevushal called Sarko, that the Malchus Ben Drusoi is a third. Rambam says it's a half. But either way, to move it forward beyond that point towards fully cooked, we are machmer, that is still a problem of cooking. However, this is where the Mishnah Berurah points out. This is where the Mishnah Berurah points out in the Bir Halacha, over here, Demas L'Shayach, and after he lists all the Rishonim on both sides, and sends you back to where he wrote Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Beis, beginning of the Siman, he says, but L'maisa, if someone did put it back on the fire, the food was half cooked, half raw, and you put it back on the fire, and now it got to fully cooked. So, oh, not back on the fire, put it on top of the challah pot. You didn't violate Shiach Zarah, but you may have violated Bishul. We would never do that. We would be concerned with Bishul. Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, but based on Prima Gadim, but since we don't follow the Rosh and Rashba L'chatchilo, literally L'chatchilo. In other words, may I do this? L'chatchilo means before the action. In the tchila. May I do this? No, we follow Tosfos Rambam. But Bidi Eved, which by the way means Bisha Asa, it was already done post factum. Now, how do we pick up the pieces? They say, it's not my Shabbos. I took the half cooked soup, I took the half cooked chicken, and I warmed it up. So I would say, you shouldn't have done it, but not my Shabbos. After the Rosh and Rosh Rilai do l'chatchila, so we would at least allow you to eat it. B'di'evet. I wish everyone a gemach simut tova. I'm glad to hang out for more questions. And we'll come back in Ritzchen after Yom Tov, and we'll continue on in the world of Bishul. The major discussion coming up is really, we've already covered a lot of ground. We haven't covered as much ground in terms of Sifim, but in terms of concepts, we've covered a lot. That going forward, we'll probably start moving more quickly. A lot of Sifim are very interconnected, and we saw a lot already. The major discussion going forward is really going to be the biggest discussion, not the only one, is going to be the question of Klirish and Klisheni, and in between, what's Bishul, what's not. At some point, we have to talk about Bechinas. I don't talk about that now. It's a good idea to chazer over the course of Yom Tov, but you're not coming back from Sukkot to any Bechina. At some point, we should figure that out, whether guys want to wait until the end of Hilchos Bishul to have Bechina, or earlier or later. I'm very, very open to different options. You can think about that over Yom Tov. Don't think about it too much over across Yom Tov. Enjoy Yom Tov. Run well. And I'd be glad to be in touch by phone or in person. I don't think it really makes sense to have to get together. Well, one more point. Not about the Limud. I don't think it makes sense to have to get together over the course of Sukkot because guys are going to be all over the country. But going forward, when we come back, Cheshvan or Kislev, if it works, I'd love to put together, if you guys are interested, to have a Chabur Shabbaton in Bergenfield. We have some people who could help with housing, but we can help to organize. And if guys are interested, in terms of the Chabura beyond afternoon Seder, it looks like guys are interested, let's figure it out. We could be in touch even by WhatsApp. If guys want to start thinking about which weeks, is a week that's particularly good for, and there may not be any week that's good for everyone, that's the nature of the beast, but there's one or two options or three options that work well for just about everyone, so then we'll be able to go with that. Shkach, Mach Sima Teva, Agit Yom Tov, Chevra, thank you so much.